Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, everyone's been praying that my message will be really good. I'm hoping. So I'm not under any pressure this morning. So is it working? Yes, wonderful. Oh, it's so good to be back anyway. I missed you all. And thank you, Nigel. I'll pay you later. And I'm looking forward to your message. Was that the last calf to be born? One more to go. Lord, let it come easy and give nice an easy birthing season. Amen. The power of communion. I think since lockdown, when we went into lockdown, one of the things I really felt the Holy Spirit say was, when we do that live stream, let's break bread together all through the lockdown. And every Sunday we broke bread. Do you remember that? And one of my other prayers was, Lord, we don't want to lose a single person during this lockdown. And I thank God that everyone came through that lockdown season. I had friends, and they lost, in a church similar size to this, 19 people. I have another leader in the town who did funerals twice a week and so on. It was really tough. But God was good. But I believe that, and it's interesting, it's being coming at me from different sources, different places, unexpected places, that God wants us to really value the communion in a very real way. Do you know, for the first 1,000 years of the church, the communion actually was the center point of the service. And it's where people communed with God in a special way. It's where it was seen as the most awesome moment. Now, there was no clear definition back then, and it's probably best, because as we know, one part of the church came to, after that, to a definition that Christ is physically present in the communion. If you've seen the movies Angela's Ashes, there's a little girl who takes her first communion, but then is sick in the garden, and they ring up the priest and say, she's just been sick with our Lord. What do I do about it? And the priest gave a very kind of funny response. But we don't believe he is physically present. Amen? If you're a good Catholic, that's okay. Don't worry. It's all right. Blessings to you. Then there's the view that it's just a remembrance. There's no sense of God's presence particularly. It's just we do that as an act of remembrance, which Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So that is definitely part of the communion. But you know, the Reformation, when the reformers and the key runners were Calvin, Luther, and a guy called Zwingli from Switzerland, they didn't believe in the physical presence, but the key leaders, except one, believed in the spiritual presence in the communion. That Christ was spiritually present. And I'll come to that in a moment. But one reformer said, it's just remembrance. And what he did, he moved the table out the way and he really played it down. But the majority of the Protestant Reformation understood he's spiritually present. And I'm going to look at that with you and just go into what happens at the communion, what Jesus said about the communion, and I'm going to leave it to you to work out what you believe about the communion, because different godly, Bible-believing believers can come down on different sides, but I'm going to leave that with you. Okay, the first thing about the communion is it was a part of regular church life. I grew up in one of these charismaniac, independent, happy-clappy, tambourine, cartwheeling, chandelier-shaking. Well, we never got the chandeliers. One time the leader said, we're going to have to get some chandeliers just to prove they're right, you know. But we never quite got the chandeliers in. But I grew up in one of these very informal churches, and I have to be honest about it. We sort of broke bread roughly once a month if the preaching didn't go on too long, and if it was, you know, if we felt like doing it. It was not a valued, a major part of our church life. I'm really glad about this church. Amen. I'm really glad that we break bread every Sunday, except when it's a celebration or something, because it's a valued part of our church life. Look at the early church. They continued steadfastly. There's another translation. It says they devoted themselves. Are you devoted to these are the principles of the early church? They devoted themselves, first of all, to apostles' doctrine. In other words, good biblical teaching. Amen? I don't want to knock anyone, but when I've been to churches on a Sunday morning, you got 5 minutes. I know some people would love that here. Some people would love like 1 minute, but you know, how much real edification can you edify if that's all you're doing? They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. They met in the temple courts and from house to house. They wanted to hear from the apostles who had walked with Jesus 3 years. Amen? Secondly, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Well, we're good at that here. Hallelujah. This fellowship is responsible for a lot of things, good and bad. But that's what church is. You might love watching your favorite preacher on TV, and I have a few that I like to watch, but let me tell you, that is not church. That when you need brothers and sisters around you, they're not going to be able to help you. They've got millions of people they're ministering to. You need to be in a fellowship. Amen? You need brothers and sisters that you can pick up the phone to. You need to be in a place where you can be encouraged, where iron sharpens iron. Amen? And in the what? Breaking of bread. The communion was one of the key four parts of church life. And yet, in many places, it's pushed to the side. In the breaking of bread. And in what? What's the final one? Prayers. We need to pray for our king. We need to pray for these elections. We need to pray for our nation. We need to, you know, get out to the prayer meeting sometime. Come and be a part of what God's doing. So they devoted themselves to those four things. They devoted themselves to breaking bread and having communion together. Amen. Acts 2:46, so they met continually with one accord in the temple, breaking bread, in the temple where the apostles taught them, breaking bread from house to house. They ate food with gladness, just like KCC, and simplicity of heart. They cooked. The good thing now is we have so many, we have Indonesian food. So if you want some Indonesian, you just be nice to Veronica and she will. Indian food, so many different things. Plantain, yaman. Yam. Yeah, it's all there. It's all here. And there was an app. They went from house to house. We believe in some of my friends' church tradition, you have to have a priest present to bless the bread and wine. And in fact, one friend of mine, he, during lockdown, the law in their church is you have to share a cup. And that was physically impossible to share a cup. I mean, you're going to infect everyone, for one. And it wasn't, so we said, well, we just had to break the law in the end. But let me tell you, how many priests do I have in the room today? Did you know you're a royal priesthood? Hallelujah. So you can look like a priest, you know. The funny thing, one time I was in Lebanon, this kind of Middle Eastern priestly kind of thing comes on you. So I did that over someone, and she started kissing my ring, and I thought, oh no, please, you've got to be careful. And here's something: this actually happened. I was staying with a lovely Lebanese family. They were so kind, so lovely, and I was just having a morning preparing for the evening. I was in my shorts and t-shirt. And just reading up and praying. And she'd gone off and gathered a load of Christian women from the village saying, there's a bishop staying in our house. Now, out there, bishops, you know, you've got the full thing going on, full regalia. And so they spent like 2 hours getting ready and preparing cakes. And they came in the house and there's the bishop. And there I am in flip-flops and shorts and t-shirt. Hello! And they're like, what kind of bishop is this? And anyway, just a few cultural things going on there. 1 Corinthians 11, when you come together, is it not really to eat the Lord's Supper? So there was a sense in their coming together that one of the key parts of the time together was having the Lord's Supper. Wow. Have you heard that preached before? Just a thought. Definitions of communion. I'm taking you on a bit of a, trying to dig in here so you get some of the breadth of the communion. The word we often hear used, particularly in historic churches, is the Eucharist. Come to the Eucharist. Do you know what that word Eucharist means? It means the thanksgiving. Wow. Some people think when you take communion or serve communion, you've got to be like, you all look at, see who can look more miserable and somber. The actual word for Eucharist is to say thank you to Jesus. Amen. So when you take communion, the cross is not a place of defeat. The cross is the place of full payment and of the victory of Jesus. And the resurrection is a confirmation of the victory Jesus already won. What the enemy thought was his defeat turns out to be his defeat. Amen? Hallelujah. It's also called the Lord's Supper. And that comes from the Passover meal. Because in the Passover meal, can you imagine Jesus? He said this, I'm getting there. In the Passover meal, it turns out that the lamb that had been symbolically slain for hundreds of years, at that last supper, the Lord's Supper, we call it, he revealed that he was the Lamb of God. Wow. Oh, can you imagine those disciples? And they would have broken bread time after time after time at the Passover. And then suddenly Jesus said, "This is my body." And suddenly he lifted a cup of redemption, the third cup of the Passover meal. He said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." They would have gone, "Whoa, he's the Passover lamb." Amen? Oh, I hope you're enjoying this. Communion literally means it's the koinonia, the fellowship. It's a place where we commune with God and his provision of Calvary. The covenant meal. Jesus lifted up the cup and said, "This cup is my blood of the new covenant." A covenant is not a contract. There's a few Chelsea managers that had a contract. That contract can be terminated. Hallelujah. Sorry to bring it down to such carnal. I know, in the middle of a community. And Brentford won, by the way, but we won't go there. No one here from Nottingham, is there? Anyway. It's the new covenant. And those disciples that remembered might have remembered when Jeremiah prophesied, "Behold, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." And he says, "I'm going to put the law in their hearts." Amen. He puts his will in you. He lives in you. He said, "They will all know me from the least to the greatest." Hallelujah. We can all know him. Not just Moses, not just David. All of us. And then the last term, the breaking of bread. I love that term. It's used by the Israelites, but it's really, really just a simple thing. We're breaking bread together. We are putting Jesus in the middle. Amen. The background is the Passover meal where Jesus, he said this, Luke 22:15, "I've earnestly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer." Why was this? He would have already had two Passovers with the disciples, if you believe they were with him for 3 years. And the first one he must have done, he said, "I'd love to show them who the Passover lamb really is." The second one, "I'd love to show them," but he couldn't. But this last supper, he revealed himself to them. They didn't fully get it. But that's where the communion came from. It didn't come from some strange sort of, you know, people wandering around sort of waving things. And I've got great respect for people that wander around, and we call them the bells and smells churches. There's some great people in those churches. Amen? Amen. But actually, and I've some of them are my friends. I'd love to preach in one day and wear the hat and everything, but I'm not allowed to anyway in Elam. But anyway, let's not go there. But it was over a meal table. Amen? It's the covenant meal. And isn't it interesting, the night Jesus introduced the new covenant, the irrevocable agreement, someone walked out and betrayed him. God is in covenant with you. He's not going to give up. Your names are written on the palms of his hand. You can break the covenant, but he's committed to the covenant. And if you are walking away from God right now, turn and come back and receive that covenant God has with you. Because let me tell you, the most miserable people in this world are backslidden Christians. They can't even sin happily anymore. So if you're born again, it's too late. Give your life properly back to God. Amen. 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 Repent and come back to him, because He loves you with an everlasting love. Amen. Don't treat the blood of Jesus lightly. Amen. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper, after the Passover meal, this he took the cup of redemption. We do right after the end, just at the towards the end. This cup is poured out, is the new covenant in my blood. Wow. At that moment, he was revealing himself, the Passover lamb. He was introducing, there's an old covenant blood of goats and bulls. I don't know how many people would be in this church if we were in the old covenant. We had to bring one of Nigel's calves in. And, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't be a very good priest back then. But there'd be some here that do. And goats and bulls. It was quite a mess. But now, once and for all, not the blood of animals, not the blood of a sinful human, but the spotless blood of the Passover lamb had to be without blemish, shed for you. And that blood still speaks on your behalf. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. And it says Jesus entered into a tabernacle not built with earthly hands, heavenly tabernacle. And that blood is on that heavenly altar. And it speaks for you. It speaks for you. That's why it's the most precious thing in this world. It's never lost its power. From the moment it was shed, it's never been diluted. It still speaks on your behalf. Amen. As it says in Hebrews, it speaks louder than the blood of Abel, the martyr. It still speaks for you. Amen. And so it speaks here that this cup, do this in remembrance of me. One of the things when we stop taking communion, we stop going back to the essentials of Christianity. When we take communion, everything we have today has come through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not like you get forgiven and then you become a son because you just feel like you're a good son, or you just get these other blessings. Healing is through the cross. Amen. Your sonship was purchased at the cross. Everything is there at the cross. And it's at the cross that men and women have come for generations. And when we stop preaching on the cross, we lose its power. The Bible says to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And my prayer for you today is you hear these words, that the power of the cross will be released into your life in a powerful way, in a new way. And where I listen, I don't hear the name of Jesus, I don't hear about the cross, I get concerns. Christianity is not a self-improvement project. It's not just some kind of positive thinking exercise, although it's incredibly positive. It is that the cross, that power is released, where you can walk without guilt or shame. It's where your shame was paid for. You think of the darkest day of your life, the worst thing you have done, and you go to that cross and you leave it with Jesus on that cross. One preacher, he said, "Give me my stuff." And the guy goes, "What do you mean, give me your stuff? Give me my stuff." He said, "What do you mean? All your fear, I paid for on the cross. All your sin, I paid for on the cross. Give me everything. Hallelujah. Cast your care. That means throw it at the cross. Oh, don't carry what God has already carried for you. Yum, yum. When I go to some of these countries, I'm like, should I really be doing this? In my natural mind. But deep down, the safest place in the world to be is the will of God. Amen. And so we remember him, we honor him, we remember the pain, we remember what he did, we remember him crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Crying out, it is finished. We remember the completion of the work of Calvary. Amen? It says Matthew 26, 28, for the remission of sins. Don't bring up sins you've already brought to God, because God, your sin is not covered. In the Old Testament, it covered believers until Jesus came. Now, if you kick that calf too hard, Nigel, and you've repented, that no longer exists. He says, I will remember their sins no more. It is not a covering for sin. It is a complete removal. I know one guy came back and he felt so bad about it. And he went back for the fifth day to tell God, I'm so sorry. And God says, it's gone. It's done. It's not there anymore. It has been remitted. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why you don't have to do penance. You know, when I was getting confirmed, I had to go and read 20 Psalms and all these things. No, the blood is complete. And we had a form of penance in our previous church. When someone did something wrong, they would disappear for a few weeks. Then they would come back on the back row. It's all right, Janet. I'm not talking. And then, as they felt a bit better with God, they graduated to the middle row. And by the end, they were somewhere near the front. And when they were totally holy and sinless, they went to the front. No, I'm just... We don't do penance, we repent. And we receive God's forgiveness. And repentance means turning around, changing your mind. Turn and receive God's grace and God's forgiveness and change. Amen. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. So we do it in remembrance of him. Calvin said this, a visible sign of an invisible thing. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup, and when they given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank it. And he said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Luther, in the discussion, he believed Christ was spiritually present, and this Zwingli guy was going, oh, it's not nothing, there's nothing spiritual about this at all. And Luther wrote with his pen, this is my body. And he and Calvin won the day, thank God. The Methodist Anglicans believe it's a means of the impartation of grace. Wigglesworth, one of the leading Pentecostals of the last century, broke bread every day if he could. And he said it would strengthen his faith. Interestingly, I remember Good Friday morning after doing the Passover together. For the first time, my whole body had been aching for weeks. I woke up strong. And then I just felt, Lord, I know something happened in that Passover meal. God, it's a means of impartation of grace. And I want to encourage you as you break bread, commune with God and receive afresh the provision of Calvary. Amen, amen. Some of you are looking at me like, oh, I hope you're not going to get... Do you know, I know when I was in Africa, they ex-voodoo people would say, we would drink chicken's blood, we would do this, we would do these things and make covenants with demons, and we'd always sign it off with drinking the blood of something. And that would give us demonic power. Well, if that's true for the demonic, how much more true is it as we take communion, acknowledging Jesus and his blood and his broken body on the cross? Amen. I know people healed in the communion. I know people touched by the Holy Spirit in the communion. And so, here's a verse that I love to share. The cup of blessing which we bless, the communion cup is what? The cup of blessing. Hallelujah. So when I take that cup, I'm appropriating the blessing that the blood of Jesus has provided for me. Amen? It's already there, but I'm receiving it in a fresh way. Amen? Look at this. Is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? That's why we call it the communion. What is the word communion? It's actually koinonia. And it literally means fellowship. Now, as a good charismatic, and now I'm a Pentecostal. No. I'm just a follower of Jesus, really, like you. I learned to encounter God, as many people did this morning, in worship. Yeah, the worship's going on, the presence of God is here. You get on your knees, you cry, you laugh, you're encountering God. We know, we've been trained to do that. We've learned to do that. Most of us encounter God when we hear a message of the Word of God. Amen. So when we hear the Bible taught, something rises in us. We have an encounter with the living Word of God. Amen. Or when we have our quiet time and we open our Bible, we're learning to, there's the Logos word, which is the whole of Scripture. Then out of that, God will, how many people, you've been reading your Bible and the Scripture jumps off the page at you. Come on. Amen. So we learn to encounter God in reading his word. But this scripture says, as we take the cup and the body, is it not a communion, fellowship with the blood of Christ? Do you know what I have been learning to do? That word communion, in that place of taking the communion. I used to be, yeah, I remember Jesus. Yeah, I remember the blood. I remember the body. Now when I'm taking communion, I'm reaching out to him. This is a time when I commune with the living God. And I commune, I appropriate afresh that precious blood shed for me. And I take that bread. It communes the power of the broken body of Jesus. Hello? Can I encourage you, when you break bread, to encounter, let the Holy Spirit impart to you the spiritual, I'm not saying physical, the spiritual presence of God. You see, baptism is an outward action of an inward faith. But I know people with satanic symbols on their arms tattooed, who were embarrassed to be baptized, and they got baptized, and when they came out, the tattoo had gone. I know people who were oppressed demonically. They got baptized, the oppression broke. There was an impartation and in that outward action. You're not saved by baptism, you're saved by faith. But something happens. Do you know in Africa, the witch doctors don't mind if someone puts their hand up in a crusade. But when they get baptized, they start going really ballistic. Because something happens. Jesus is present when we break bread. Commune. Is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? Wow, you go and read it up. You go and research it. You go and read. You know, you don't have to come on board with that. That's you. That's you, but that's up to you. The most controversial thing Jesus said was, and a load of disciples left him, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man or drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Now, we're not physically eating Jesus, but spiritually, we're partaking, we're abiding with him. Amen? And you can read 100 commentaries on that, and you'll get 100 responses, so I'm not going to try and... But what I'm saying is, there's an impartation. Hallelujah. This scripture does not fit into a politically correct Western world. But I'm partaking of Jesus when I take bread and the wine. Amen? Can I just say this? When they broke the Passover meal and bring it into land... When they took the Passover meal, these Israelites had been 400 years as slaves. So they wouldn't have had very good conditions. They wouldn't have had nice health care. They wouldn't have had very much to look after them. In fact, their rations had gone down under Pharaoh. But it says in Psalm 105:37, he brought them out with silver and gold. The Egyptians gave them the provision for the tabernacle of Moses. And look, there were how many feeble among his tribes? None. I have a sense. As they took that Passover meal, the forerunner to our communion, that strength came into their body. And when they went through the Red Sea, not one couldn't go. Wow. Woo! Thank you for that, Esther. I'll pay you. I can tell you of multiple occasions when, as people have gone back to the cross, taken communion, God has released his healing touch. Amen. He himself took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses by his stripes. When I need healing, I do lots of things. I play healing scriptures. I focus on Jesus, who was unlike the fiery serpent Moses lifted up. He was lifted up on the cross. And I look to him. And I take communion. I know one person who was really, really sick, close to their deathbed, and God spoke to them, take communion every day. And it didn't happen instantly, but over a period of months, strength returned to their body. When you take communion, receive what Jesus died for in your body. Amen. I believe it. We're meant to be regular, Acts 2:46, day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, regularly break bread. And that's why we do it on the Lord's Day. It's called the Lord's Day because it's the day Jesus was raised on that Sunday. And the early church began to meet on Sunday. It was always Sunday night, by the way, because the slaves didn't get a day off. So they had to meet in the evening. And that's where that Sunday morning became a special day in Christianity. They broke bread from house to house. I believe we can break bread. Carrie and I break bread as a couple. We include Silas. We bless and pray for one another. I want to encourage you, make communion, be devoted to the breaking of bread. Amen? My mum hadn't been able to get to church for many years. And I went over to the care home in Tadley. Thank you, Nigel and Peter and Enid. And I served her communion. She was nearly in tears. She said, it's been years. And the presence of God was just so strong to serve my mum communion. You're all priests. I encourage you, be devoted to apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Yeah, gosh, don't forget that. What happens when we break bread? I'm going to bring Interland on this. I never kind of got my mind around this. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what are we doing? Come on, someone tell me. You're proclaiming his death until he comes. It's a proclamation. Now, I used to think, yeah, but that's the sad bit. He died. It's hard. It's terrible. Yes, we do come to take communion in acknowledgement of that suffering, physical suffering, spiritual suffering as he bore our sins. But the cross is the place of full payments for Sam's sin, hallelujah, full payments for everything that we have done to offend God. The cross is the place of full provision. The cross is the place where the enemy was disarmed. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, as he was about to give up his spirit, he said, it is finished. In other words, I have won for you. So when you break bread, it's a thanksgiving. That's what the Eucharist means, the thanksgiving. We're proclaiming his victory. And that victory is full and complete for you today. And one day, he will come. And by the way, Jesus said, I will not celebrate this Passover again until I come in my kingdom. So you're going to do Passover in glory. Hallelujah. We proclaim the victory till he comes. And these guys have come to take their communion. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They said, oh, we don't want to be left out. Just something to throw out. Therefore, just take everything I've said. Therefore, whoever eats or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. The Corinthians were getting drunk at the communion. The Corinthians were not acknowledging that Christ, the importance of the body and blood of Jesus, that as they break bread, this is just some little thing we do as a church. No, it's not some little thing we do as a church. We are communing, amen, with the Lord. I believe he's spiritually present in the communion. Hallelujah, as most Protestants did and do. If we eat, let a man examine himself. Please, please, don't take communion lightly. I've been in churches where people, it's just, it worries me, although I'm not allowed to worry. I get concerned, sorry. Examine yourself. It's a really good time, if there's besetting sin in your life, to say, Jesus, you died for something I'm holding on to. I want to turn from this way. I want to leave it at the cross. Amen. Examine yourself. So let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks and eats in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment upon himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It's a cup of blessing. But you must do it in a worthy manner. Amen. Because the cup can be a cup of judgment. And so I want to encourage you right now. Just come before the Lord. Dear Jesus, we thank you. Just get your communion ready. If you haven't got one, just Rahela will bring it round to you. And we are going to proclaim the Lord's death today. Oh, why didn't you know this hands? I thought you were worshipping for a minute, but I thought they're so spiritual, this worship team. But no, they want their communion. It's a cup of blessing, saints. And so we bless this cup. Why don't you declare that? Lord, I bless this cup. And may it be to me a communion of the blood of Christ, a communion of the body of Christ. And right now, if there is besetting your sin in your life, deal with it. Jesus paid for you so you can walk out of this place free from guilt, free to walk in the presence of God. But you come and give it to Jesus. Lord, we give you all of those things that we have done wrong, even in the last week. We give it to you. We leave it at the cross. And Lord, you say, he who needs, who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Receive afresh his righteousness. It's the divine exchange. Maybe you need his healing touch. Well, as you break the bread, this is the cup of blessing. This is where Calvary, the fountains were opened deep and wide. At that cross, as you take this bread and this cup, you are proclaiming Christ's death, his victory over your life, over his full payment for your redemption. You're proclaiming it now. And so Jesus said, this is my body broken for me. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for your broken body. We come to the Eucharist with thanksgiving, the thanksgiving to you for all that you did on that cross. And then he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood for the remission of sins. It's his covenant with you. And it's not in the blood of animals. It's in the blood of the spotless Son of God. It is a communion of the blood of Christ. And so we take your cup of blessing. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just appropriate. The old Pentecostals sang, "All the blood of Jesus washes white as snow." Stop seeing yourself through your eyes and see yourself in Christ. The blood of Jesus remits all of our sin. We receive it now. And Lord, we appropriate all that you died for. Heal our bodies, clear our minds, and may we walk in freedom before you. No condemnation. Our guilt and shame taken away at the cross. And all God's people said, amen.